Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy trivia podcast. I'm Nate Regolia. Each week, we subject our guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea. And this week, we're going to be talking about a very special time in a young boy or a young girl's life. We're going to be talking about college. And college is not just John Belushi in a sweatshirt that says college. It's also a lot of other things. And returning guest this week, we have Ryan Knoll. Ryan, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah. I mean, it's good to be in the virtual recording studio. We are, I assume you got the snacks in the form of crushed candy. I don't know what apps do the kids play these days that are food?
Weirded out to receive an open bowl of nuts in the mail, but you know, I was pleased they're there. You know, I haven't eaten any of them, but
well, you know. I mean, they are all testicles, so I get why you wouldn't want to actually eat them. It's a little joke we play on the audience here. I'll have to talk to intern Jeff because he's been a pill lately.
I don't want to know how intern Jeff is harvesting that many, like a bowl full.
Oh man, it's actually really easy. And if you want to find out more, subscribe to our Patreon. We don't actually have one yet, but I like that that's a thing.
Lay the groundwork. I think it's important to, pave the way.
Yeah, you know, we gotta make testicle harvesting jobs available for people. Especially in the new world order that we're entering into. To face off against you, Ryan, we have my lovely wife, Jenny Leisure Regolia. You guys went to college together.
We certainly did.
Which is an exciting thing. Yeah. Jenny, how are you tonight?
I'm good. That's the worst question.
for the listener, we are sitting side by side sharing a pair of earbuds to huddle over the microphone. So when I turn and ask how she's doing, it's almost too close. It's closer than we might actually sit in most marital situations. But yeah, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to be talking about college and we're just going to get into it. We're going to get right into it here. So we're going to start with the opening question. And the opening question, Ryan, I'm going to start with you. Why did you go to college?
I think it's because my parents browbeat me into it.
All right.
They refused to pay for it, but they felt they strenuously urged me to join because they were, you know, part of that generation where that was a guaranteed trek into the middle class.
You're gonna make $80,000 a year, no problem. We can't help you, but you will bring incredible shame to our house if you choose an artistic path and don't do that.
Right.
Yeah. And, okay.
I did both. Unfortunately, I majored in English, and that was a decision. You know, I'm not gonna say it was a bad decision, but
I also majored in English, so I'm not gonna like. There's no beef there. It's a good major.
Yeah.
It's minor.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, we've all dabbled in bad choices.
We've all dabbled in self-actualized choices that weren't financially actualized choices, I think. So Jenny, why did you go to college?
Very similar story, I think. I don't recall being given an option not to. It's just sort of expected, but I enjoy school, so I guess that wasn't the issue, but paying for it was also not fun for me, so that's how I ended up in college.
Great. What I'll say is I didn't feel a lot of direct parental pressure to go to college myself, but it was ultimately a foregone conclusion based on just sort of societal and peer pressures. I graduated high school and it was just like, well, this is the next step. You just do this thing after, which I will qualify right now as like very white privilege to say like, oh yeah, the next step is just go to college.
Yeah. Yeah,
because
very much.
I didn't grow up rich, but it certainly wasn't ever like, oh my God, you'll never be able to do this, or you'll be the first person in the family to do it. Although, so I don't know. It's an interesting thing because it's sort of like college is really, maybe for our generation, high school part two in a lot of ways.
Very much so, yeah.
It's like, hey, cool. So if you didn't party and have sex and all these other things in high school, you're going to do that in college. You're gonna expand your horizons. You're going to learn some things. But the beauty of college, I got to say, for me, was that majoring in English and minoring in philosophy, which are two highly lucrative degrees to own, made me a good person. Like, I feel like I've been very adaptable. I'm capable of understanding how business-minded people work, but I also always have a moral compass at the center where I'm like, I don't think that's okay, even if it makes sense or whatever, you know? Good.
I don't regret it, and it definitely shaped the person I am. But it I also feel like we're the last generation where that is a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, absolutely.
It you know, you don't examine that at all. Like, well, of course that's the next step. Of course that's what I do next. Because now I feel like it might be financially more sound to become an electrician than it is.
There's a part of me that kind of thinks, man, if I had just like pursued plumbing and heating that I did as a summer job for most of my youth, like with my dad, I would be making substantially more money than I make now. I don't know that I would be happy doing the work necessarily. Like, I was never unhappy doing the work, but I also think back to how nice it was to have tangible work, where at the end of the day, you're like, I did these three things and they're
done. I did a thing.
Yeah. I actually did a thing. So it is weird, but hopefully, you know, our system will somehow adapt to understand that maybe people can all deserve to live regardless of, paperwork quality. Yeah, I know. It's a radical thought. It's a radical thought that humans, have inherent value, but we're going to throw it out there at the beginning of the show.
We'll see. Maybe we'll it's the podcast that turns it all around.
Right? Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah. Our hordes of listeners are going to take to the streets. great job, both of you, on the opening question. I'm awarding you 3 points each.
Cool.
And now we're going to start with round one. And round one, Jenny, you're going to go first.
Okay.
Do you have a vague idea about college humor?
Oh, sort of. Yes. So it started as a website, I believe. I remember actually looking at that site in college. They used to do a lot of just like parody videos. I believe Will Ferrell has been involved at some point, but I could be wrong about that. I haven't looked at it in years. I didn't even know if they're still around, but that's what I know.
Okay, very good, very good. Ryan, anything to add about college humor?
I thought the same thing about Will Ferrell, but then I think that's Funny or Die.
You're right.
Yeah,
it is Funny or Die. I thought that as soon as I said it.
Which is weird, because I feel like in my brain, those two things are very much tied together.
They're definitely similar.
Yeah.
I think they use the same font in their logos.
Yeah.
Other than the or, which I think is encased in some sort of black box.
Yeah.
But Funny and Die and College Humor all have the same font.
Yeah, and I feel like it was part of that same wave with, like, Cracked, where it was this early aught surge of, like, comedy writers with English degrees who had nowhere else to go and nothing else to do, making, like, very marketable, like, listicles and parodies, and I think Adam Ruins Everything came from that. Yeah, other than that, I'm struggling to remember who all was in their stable of people. I think Pete Holmes did stuff for them too, but yeah, other than that, not real.
Very good. I mean, it's one of those sites that like it persists. It's still around. Though Dorkly, its sister site, was shut down. I mean, it's one of those things because what, like 60% of these sites were all like, oh, this isn't actually profitable, and we're going to venture capital crush these things because it's time to die. But yeah, like College Humor is an internet comedy company. That's how it's considered on the Wikipedia. It was founded by Josh Abramson and Ricky Van Veen in 1999. And yeah, it's just known for, yeah, weird videos, listicles, yeah, that kind of stuff. Great job. Very good. Very good. I'm going to give you each 2 points because you both knew stuff about it.
Woo!
And I feel good about that. And now it's time for round two. And Ryan, do you have a vague idea about collegeconfidential.com?
No. but just judging from the name, I'm going to assume it's some sort of sleuthing agency that specializes in hijinks, specifically like, you know, who put bananas in tailpipes, who sabotaged the dean's dress. You know, it's like the Pinkertons, but for fun muck-em-ups.
Nice.
That's what I assume.
Who stole that mascot costume?
Exactly.
We're going to track them down. And in true Pinkerton fashion, we will murder them.
We will beat the crap out of them.
Yeah. Right. Oh, it's going to be violent, but with bowler hats. So, a jaunty beating.
That pig had powerful friends.
Curly, straight. Curly, straight. Very good. Jenny, do you have a vague idea about collegeconfidential.com?
I don't. I've also not heard of this. I'm imagining more like, I don't know, some sort of like early Facebook-esque thing where they like rate people's attractiveness.
Oh, God, college. You're probably right.
that's my best guess.
I feel like there's something like co-ed confidential that might be a rating thing like that. Yeah, great work. College Confidential is a website. It's a college admissions counseling company that was founded in 2001. So it has admissions forums, financial aid, admissions percentage chances data, standardized testing coaching, and school life information. So you would go on collegeconfidential.com and be like, what's it going to be like to go to, you know, SUNY Albany, right? Like, oh my gosh, is this gonna be good? And then you're like, oh, there's pants. There's lots of pants at this school. So says the forum.
Huh. Right. Okay. That's much more benign than I was worried it was.
I kind of picked it because it's very benign in a way that's like, why would you call it confidential? Because that
that implies a whole range of problems.
I mean, the film LA Confidential is not about just learning about Los Angeles. It's about a sequence of gang and you know, water-based murders, I think. I mean, I haven't seen it in a while, but it is definitely not about the Benai.
Yeah, police corruption and grisly murders and the gentle farmer from Babe turning out to be, spoilers, a real menace.
Plus Kevin Spacey, who is a IRL menace, is in the movie.
Oh no.
You gotta watch out. You gotta watch out for Spacey.
You do. You do. That's a whole career where he was trying to tell us.
Yeah.
You know?
it's crazy when you go back and look at all of these breadcrumbs and it's like, whoa, you really were like, you were wearing it on your sleeve the whole time.
You weren't acting.
No. you were just saying, hey, guys, come on. I'm dangerous. Just anytime you want to step in.
Someone please stop. And not in a fun Jim Carrey way, but please actually.
Yeah, not in a fun Jim Carrey way. Although for the purposes of legality, we don't know. Everything's alleged. Great. Great work. 1 point each on College Confidential. And now.
Okay. I feel like we've had 3 points, then 2 points, then 1 point. This is just woof.
Yeah, I'm going to start taking points away soon. Eventually, like at the end of the show, you're both going to owe me several points. And you don't want to know how this show collects.
I'm assuming testicles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's how we get our welcome packages. So it's time for our first game. It's time to play Recast. And this week on Recast, you guys are going to be recasting the two lead roles from the classic film, Dead Man on Campus. If you don't remember that film, it was an MTV movie I think from 1998, I'm going to say. I'm going to not look it up to verify, but it is a late 90s MTV film that in its real iteration stars Mark Paul Gosselaar, everybody's favorite Zach Morris, and Tom Everett Scott, the guy who was the American Werewolf in Paris and the drummer in That Thing You Do. The movie is about two college roommates who are total shitbirds at studying and realize that there is a loophole where they could pass if they can just find a roommate who kills themselves in a late 90s just bastion to insensitivity.
Ow.
Yeah, it's a zany madcap comedy where they spend the whole time just trying to find someone who's crazy enough to die, and that's the joke and premise.
Wow.
It did not do particularly well, but
wait,
we both need to recast these characters.
So it's not like Weekend at Bernie's where the guy just happens to die and they have to carry on a ruse.
Oh no. It's malicious.
Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah.
Where they have to have someone. Wow.
They spend the first, like act one is, oh, hey, we're both fun, but we're fuck ups and we're not going to pass college and we're going to get kicked out. Act two is, oh, this is the way out. We're going to spend all of the middle third of the movie seeking people with depression or other proclivities, whether they just be like people who are naturally sort of thrill seekers who would endanger themselves. Like they try to find a binge drinker and, oh, maybe he'll kill himself. Or this goth person might kill themselves. So it's just a bunch of stereotypes about suicide, which is fantastic for a movie. Wow. And then I think they kind of learn a little bit of something at the end about how maybe they don't need to do that and whatever, straighten up and fly right, but a little too late. So Jenny, it's your turn. I need you to give me two actors who could play the lead douchebags in a reboot of Dead Man on Campus. And they can be anybody from any era.
Well, I'm going to do the female reboot.
Okay.
And I'm going to cast the Olsen twins.
Oh, okay.
So Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. I don't really have a good reason. I just like delightful troublemakers in their younger movies. So maybe this is like a modern spin where they go dark. I don't know.
Are you casting like Full House era Olsen twins or like It Takes Two like, era Olsen twins?
Probably like somewhere in between, like that whole weird like early 2000s where they were running around dressed like homeless people and like having giant coffees.
Okay, cool. Like, all right.
That era.
I'm into that. So you've got these like late teens Olsen twins. They're playing fresh people in college. They're doing it method because they're that age.
Exactly.
And they're like, well, you know,
they
what are
NYU,
we going to do?
So like, yeah.
Okay. Great.
Nice.
I like that a lot. That is good. That is very good. Okay, Ryan, who are you going to recast for Mark Paul Gosselaar and Tom Everett Scott?
I'm going to stick with the three names and go with Lee Harvey Oswald. And I cannot for the life of me remember the guy who shot Lincoln.
Just John really Wilkes Booth.
John Wilkes Booth.
An actor. Yeah.
I'm going to go with them. And it will take on a whole new level of grimness when the two of them are trying to, like, find a roommate to kill. or, you know, die. But, yeah, I think that would sufficiently up the stakes and hijinks for the whole thing.
This movie that you're talking about writes itself too, because one, you have a very zany pairing, right?
Yeah.
It's like the original Odd Couple.
Yeah,
you've got
those two guys are not going to get along very well.
You've got an ardent slave owning Southerner and an ardent sort of Cuban proto communist who are thrown together.
Yeah.
In the dorms, college roommates. and then the set pieces write themselves because you got like, oh, this one roommate has a convertible. I hope he'll die. And this other roommate is a theater major. And it just all adds up. It all adds up real fast.
Yes, from the Southern Confederacy.
Oh, God. Yeah. I think, honestly, like both of these movies would make more money than the original movie made.
That's doesn't sound hard though. I mean, I feel like when Mark Paul Gosselaar is like your it guy for you know selling tickets, that's not gonna end well for you.
You know what's I mean, what's funny is one. I mean, this movie was technically successful because it made a little bit over $1 million more than it cost. But of course, they don't list the above the line cost stuff. Like they probably did a lot of promotion. But this is a movie I saw in the theater. I went to this movie because I was just riding that that MTV movie train at in the late 90s.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Yeah, yeah. What a terrible disaster.
I remember very vividly some of those that have just completely fallen by the wayside, like Life Less Ordinary. Do you guys remember that one?
I remember that title.
Yeah.
Who was in it?
Ewan McGregor and Cameron Diaz.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, they had this Bonnie and Clyde thing going, sort of. But, yeah, terrible movie, but also kind of iconic movie for me.
Because it turns out that no matter how good a movie, good or bad a movie is, when it comes out when you're at a certain age, it means something to you. No matter what.
Yeah, yeah. It's peanut butter solution. It's come back around to that, where it's...
Yeah, I mean, such is the entire career of John Hughes, RIP. Like, you wrote some good movies, but man, mm-hmm. you also wrote some very bad movies, and mm-hmm. but you meant a lot to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge. True. Yeah, the Dead Man on Campus came out in 1998. To boost ticket sales, the film's release was timed with the start of the new college school year, which is to say, they were like, we want to make more money. How about we talk about glamorizing suicide for the purposes of white male protagonists passing while not giving a shit about school? I mean, really, in retrospect, it is terrifyingly atrocious that this movie existed at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the time, it seemed zany, I think. Like, it really did. It seemed zany to me. But now I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I had one of my good friends from high school, she was an RA, sophomore and junior year of college at CU Boulder, and one of her students committed suicide within the like first or second week. And it's like, oh yeah, not a funny thing. Actually, extraordinarily disgusting.
Yeah, not a hilarious caper. And you know, in a country that like really brashly does not give a shit about mental health at all,
yeah,
you know, maybe this would fly if we like cared a little more and intervened a little bit more, and this wasn't like a persistent problem throughout our country, throughout, you know, decades and decades of college, kids going to college. If we were actually doing something about it, maybe it wouldn't feel like quite so horrendous if it was this weird thing that only rarely ever happened, but like, no, hundreds of kids every year. Yeah.
And that the movie boils down like the types of people who would commit suicide to these sort of very easy tropes. Like, oh yeah, the goth person's depressed, so they'll probably kill themselves. Or this party guy will probably drink himself to death or get in a car accident. So, you know, whatever. It's really heavier than it deserves to be. And I don't know. I mean, I really hope that Mark Paul Gosselaar is listening to the show and he's going to go ahead and call me and say, hey, I want to come on and really talk about this, because I think we're all owed an explanation.
And if he does, if he is listening, Mark Paul Gosselaar, you know, if you're feeling pain and shame about this, reach out. Don't suffer in silence.
Yeah. And communicate with us.
Yeah.
We want to help you.
Open up, Mark. You know, this is about.
It's been hard embracing his brunetteness, given that he was a blonde for so much of his early acting career. So I get it. Like, life isn't always sunny. You've got to come. You got to reach out to people. You got to love them. Great job on recast, Ryan. I'm going to give you 3 points because I love the historical implications of your casting, and Jenny, I'm going to give you 2 points because the Olsen twins still make a really interesting movie, and I like the idea that they kind of sort of confuse whoever their roommate is. Like, that's the premise, is that they're like, wait, didn't I just talk to you? And you're like, no, you didn't talk to me. And this is how I'm gaslighting you into killing yourself, is by just pretending like I keep asking you where you put my sandwich in our mini fridge, and you keep not knowing, and I'm making you feel crazy. So great job. Now, It's time for round number three. And Ryan, do you have a vague idea about the College Board?
Yeah, I think I do. I think it's the sort of nationwide administrative body that, like, it's a bunch of colleges or people in colleges that come together to make, you know, decisions on, like, testing and, you know, approve of books or, you know, whatnot. That, or it's the little hat you get. Yeah.
Why not both? Really? You know? Very good. Very good. Jenny, do you have anything to add about the College Board?
No. I guess I was thinking just admissions board, like the board that decides who gets in, who doesn't, but your answer makes more sense.
I don't know. Now I'm leaning more towards that.
I mean, in that it does actually have some pertinence to admissions. Like, the College Board is a nonprofit organization that, well, let's say it's not a nonprofit, it's a not-for-profit, which is an interesting designation, but they basically are the college examination board, and their job is to provide and administer the tests, like the SAT and the ACT, as well as to set sort of the curricula and standardized tests for K through 12 that get you into college. So in a lot of ways, they're both a good thing and a terrible, terrible, terrible thing.
Yeah. That's a surprising amount of influence on, like, your entire education rather than just one part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the College Board develops and administers standardized tests and curricula used by K through 12 and post-secondary education institutions to promote college readiness, which is to say there's only a certain way to be ready for college and all other ways are wrong. And so we're just going to kind of funnel specific archetypes of people into higher learning. And also, I mean, honestly, like, let's be fair, when you get to college, it's a little bit of a joyous free-for-all for most of it. I mean, if you're savvy enough and capable of networking with professors enough, like, you can usually craft your own curriculum. Mm-hmm. And the idea that somehow it's like, oh, you had to take these six tests to be qualified for this and you had to be able to perform under pressure, like, it's kind of gross.
One, I would also, you know, I'd also say that I think we've all had this experience where, like, you know, any mandatory introductory level class in college, you are often, like, retaught things you already knew from high school.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many people who don't have that at all. You know, who like, so everybody is still, like, regardless of the efforts of the College Board, are still on completely different pages in terms of, like, the baseline level of education that high school was supposed to give you. And yeah. I don't know, measure of, like, I mean, for speaking personally, like, a lot of my high school courses, they would teach you the same thing over and over and over again for, like, years on end. So, like, I don't.
Yeah, they're like, look, Pythagoras, come on, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And it, yeah. Yeah. And you're like, I don't really need this. I'm going to, yeah. I play piano really well. Leave me alone.
Right, right.
So, but yeah, yeah.
No, right, yeah. I'm done. Rant over. But.
Okay, yeah. No, I think you're spot on. Very good. Ryan, 2 points. Jenny, 1 point. And round number four, Jenny, do you have a vague idea about a red shirt?
A red shirt. No.
Okay. Do you want to make something up?
Yes. No, I really have no idea.
Okay. Ryan, red shirt?
As it pertains to college?
Yes.
I would, just going off of the Star Trek parlance, assume
yeah,
that it's the roommate that you're trying to goad into suicide to get the course load for the rest of the semester.
I mean, that's almost a movie I want to see, though.
Yeah.
Dead Men on Campus at Starfleet Academy in San Francisco. And it's like, oh, man.
Wesley Crusher is behind on his study. He's got a plan.
Without Jean-Luc Picard here, he doesn't have a moral compass anymore. He's willing to allow a person to die.
He's full of a lot of malice, that Wesley Crusher.
Well, I mean, you know, his captain let his dad die, or at least was really? The captain of the ship where his dad died. There's mm-hmm. There's a lot of legit trauma sitting on that situation, I gotta say.
Yeah,
plus he's the captain's also kind of probably having a relationship with his mom.
Definitely. Like, that's Macbeth.
Yeah.
Not Macbeth. That's a Hamlet. That's Hamlet. Mm-hmm. Wesley Crusher is Hamlet.
It's a big time Hamlet. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Wesley Crusher is just cerebral enough to totally go full Hamlet on it, where he'd be like, computer, should I kill him or not? I mean, it's not going to be the perfect soliloquy, but it's going to be really close.
Well, and even, you know, pondering like whether to redshirt himself, like, you know, to be or not to be, that whole thing.
Yeah.
Arrows. Yeah. It's a whole, God, what if Wesley Crusher was plotting revenge the entire run of that show?
Yeah.
Like, just uncertain of whether or not he should follow through with it, and then just leaves at the, you know, season 5 or whatever that was. But I kind of want to rewatch it now.
I kind of want us to all sit down and write a Star Trek version of Hamlet and stage it, because I think it's a really good idea. And I think now is the time, right?
And like, Patrick Stewart would totally be on board for that, I think.
Yeah. Oh, man, he would be great. Because we'd be giving him something other than the dour performance he had to provide in Picard. We'd be like, no, be the Picard who actually is confident about things. That would be cool for you.
We still haven't seen it. We're
oh, yeah. Behind. Well, I've only seen parts of it, and I'm not totally down on it, but it's just kind of like, it's a little, anyway, whatever. This isn't what this show is about, Ryan. We need to change gears. great job on whatever that was. What were you just talking about? Oh yeah, red shirt. Great job on red shirt. 0 points each. You're both wrong. Red shirting is a process that's used with college athletes. So if you are a college athlete who is given a red shirt tag, it allows you to play an additional year, right? So if you're a red shirt freshman, it means you're actually a sophomore.
Hmm.
You're actually a sophomore in college, but you've only been eligible for one season of football or baseball or whatever the sport is. Though it's most common in football. That's basically the thing. It's a little bit of tomfoolery wherein we can further exploit young athletes for free.
Okay.
through the collegiate system. Go NCAA.
Right.
All right. It's a great work. And now it's time for our second game. It's time for the Thunderdome. And this week in the Thunderdome,
I'm assuming there's a thing that goes in there.
There's going to be a thunder sound effect, yeah. Good, yeah. Good. I like to leave a little breathing room for my thunder sound effect.
You got to have it in there, yeah.
This week in the Thunderdome, you're both going to have the opportunity to tell us who will win in a battle to the death between the Pink Floyd album covers painted on women's bare backs poster versus the John Belushi in a college sweatshirt poster. So, Ryan, who's going to win in the Thunderdome?
I'm going to go with sheer numbers here and go with the Pink Floyd ladies. You know, I know that John Belushi was a big guy, but Pink Floyd had a lot of albums. And I think they even left out some of them.
Like, there's like 5 or 6, I think, total on that poster. So it's not the whole discography for sure.
Yeah, and like, I think the Piper at the Gates of Dawn lady and the Uma Guma lady are probably off to the side. So that's like 7 ladies. And I really do think 7 ladies can beat the shit out of John Belushi.
I think it's fair that John Belushi might be distracted by like 1 lady who's not probably wearing a top. And that's pretty much the end of the battle. So fair, good work. Yeah, very good.
In fact, I feel like that's a scene in one of those 80s comedy romps, like Meatballs or something. Like, I don't think it's John Belushi. I think it's John Candy getting beaten up by like nearly naked women. But
there's the iconic scene in Monty Python's Meaning of Life where a man's dying and he's chased by women wearing bike helmets elbow and knee pads and just like underwear, but no top. And that's the whole way that he wanted to die. And they chase him off a cliff, which was one of the most awkward viewing experiences of my young life. And when I was like, oh, we should rent this Monty Python movie. Oh, cool. Great, Dad. I'm glad we're here.
You're giving me stress flashbacks of watching that with my dad and my sister. Yeah, that was...
The only thing worse was when I was in a Michael Crichton kick and we rented the film... oh, shit. What is it called? It was the Red Sun or something Sun. Damn it. Oh, Rising Sun. Rising Sun with Wesley Snipes and Sean Connery.
Sean Connery. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had just read the book. Yeah.
And that whole movie's about, like, autoerotic asphyxiation.
It sure is. And I somehow did not understand that that was, like, a thing that would not translate comfortably to screen when I was 14. yeah. So, you know, we had our neighbors over to watch this movie. And they were nice, conservative, sort of proto-grandparents of mine. And it was like, oh, the opening sequence is a man lapping champagne off of a woman's bare chest. Great feeling in my youth. Jenny, what do you think? Who's going to win in the Thunderdome between that Pink Floyd album cover poster or John Belushi in a college poster?
Such a good answer. Like, it's not fair. So I'm going to go with Sneak Attack. Neither one wins. Scarface poster comes in at the last second. Take them all out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Say hello to my little friend, and here it is.
Yeah, that's probably actually going to be the thing that does it.
One, because that poster is coked out of its mind.
For sure.
And it's just like, it sees this thing developing. And I think, honestly, like, that poster sees this happening. It goes, wait, that scrubby guy in a sweatshirt's approaching all of my ladies, and just rolls in, machine gun out, ready to roll, and just trashes the whole situation. So Jenny, very good. Very good.
Weirdly, all the women in that Pink Floyd poster, all his sister. So it's going to be a massacre.
Yeah. Large families, you know, it's good.
He had a thing, right? It's been a while since I've seen that, but he had a thing.
I haven't seen it in a long time either, but he definitely did have a thing. I mean, if nothing else, cocaine creates strange bedfellows. I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah. God. I mean, weirdly, too, is if you take the Scarface poster and the Velvet Underground poster, that's how John Belushi died. So.
Oh, shit.
Hanging out with those guys. That'll get you.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't go to the college bookstore and buy the Speedball poster set because you're dooming yourself to be a dead man on campus.
Oh, wow. It's all tying together.
Yeah, it's really... I actually did this way better than I thought I did. great job. Ryan, 1 point. Jenny, 3 points because, I mean, come on. Scarface rolling in. That makes a lot of sense. And it's now from the makers of Pomme ou Pomme de Terre, it's time for La Chose Francais arbitraire. That's the arbitrary French thing, and the only thing that's French about it is the name.
Uh-huh.
So this week, you are going to be posed an arbitrary question, and that is, we're going to start with you, Ryan. If you were a college or university, what would your motto be? I have two examples. Harvard's motto is Veritas, Latin for truth. Columbia's motto is In lumine tuo vidiminus lumen. In thy light shall we see light. What would your motto be? It doesn't have to be in Latin. But if you do it in Latin, I mean, hell yeah.
Well, in the true spirit of the game, I'm going to go with est unum veritas est, which I don't know what that means. those are just Latin words that came to mind. And given the arbitrary nature of the game, I feel like an arbitrary answer is in order.
That's fair. I think what you said is together true is.
Oh, I'm sticking with that.
Yeah. Is together true is? I mean, I could roll with that. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Because when students are going to college for the first time and away from their families and you know, learning about themselves and others. I think it's really important to set a tone of wariness and uncertainty.
Oh yeah, you got to make it confusing, because nothing's better than the first time you've really left the nest also being like, oh, there are languages that I don't even speak that this college is promoting. Like, I don't know where I'm at.
I just want every student in these hallowed halls to ask themselves, is being together true?
Yeah.
Any truth of togetherness?
I mean, with social media, I think you really hit on something, actually. With social media, is being together true? Are we actually united in any sort of way?
We're actually an online university, so it actually really works.
Yeah. I mean, we're actually an online universe.
Yeah.
Drop the itty. It's over. We're fucked. Very good. Jenny, what's your, if you were a college, what would be your motto?
Sorry. I think piggybacking off our conversation about the arbitrary nature of college, I'm just going to go with none of this shit really matters anyway. And that's our motto.
Yeah.
We're a transparent university.
Yeah, it's smart. I mean, because really, like, so many people spend incredible amounts of money to get degrees that then you graduate and you go, I need 5 years of experience in the thing that I just learned to get an entry-level job?
Right.
How does that happen?
Right.
I've been interviewing people for my job, for my work, the work that I have that I get paid for. And that was one of the questions, was like, oh, I mean, how am I supposed to get a job with stuff when it's like, you need this much? I was like, yeah, I know. It's weird. It's weird to be a graduate during a pandemic, let alone to be like, oh, I have a degree, but you still want me to have done this for 4 years before you would tell me that I can do it? It's crazy. It's crazy,
right?
Bones.
Because generally what's actually happening there is that the actual way to enter those industries is like unpaid internships.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that's how you do it. So if you can't actually afford to not be paid, you know, for...
Great path is your dad becomes president or your father-in-law becomes president. And then suddenly you're like, you got a really great gig.
Mm-hmm.
Can really mm-hmm. start selling that Goya, you know?
God. Oh, we're doomed.
We are. We are definitely doomed. This podcast will come out probably in 2 months, at which mm-hmm. point we might already be doomed. So, listeners, if it's not over, hey, fingers crossed.
Well, and I just want to remind everybody listening right now to you know, make sure to scoot over, you know, it's important to socially distance, but I understand that there's only one flaming barrel in this particular alleyway. So it's important to like scoot and make room by the barrel.
Yeah.
For everyone to warm their hands or bones, as they will say.
Yeah, you're going to want to give everybody a chance to heat the found meat that they've discovered on the street over the trash fire. That's the most considerate thing to do.
It's best not to question what it is, because that's irrelevant at this point.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if it's plague squirrel, it's plague squirrel. We're going to cook the plague away. It's fine.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Exactly.
Great job. Jenny, 3 points. Ryan, 2 points on La Chose Francais Arbitraire. And now it's time for the final topic. Ryan, are you ready for the final topic?
I'm girded.
Great. Not your loins, though.
I mean,
maybe you could gird your loins if you want.
I was referring to the stomach condition, actually. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm one of those things.
Great. Do you have a vague idea about the College of Pontiffs?
Yeah, I do. I think I do. Yeah, I think it's the branch of the Catholic Church that decides who the new pope is. They got the whole white smoke thing going on when they decide, but I think that's what they're called. I could be mixing up my religious organizations. But
I you know what, you caught me a little flat-footed. I'm checking to make sure that's a thing that they do, because I it could be.
Oh wait, this is. Oh, okay. It has college in them. Never mind. Yeah, I might be wrong. Those might be cardinals. Yeah, that might be the College of Cardinals.
I mean, that's too bad if it is. Yeah, that might be the case.
Yeah. So pontiffs. We're going to go with they're the people who make sure that the College of Cardinals has water and crackers for big decision. I don't know where a pontiff ranks religiously. Like if they're definitely above a deacon, but below an archdeacon. Maybe.
in that semi-archdeacon range that nobody likes to talk about.
It's an awkward sort of milieu, you know, like no one really knows who's in charge. That's why big hat. It's just like the hat. I'm in charge. But I have apparently no idea.
No, that's hey, you know what? You filled some time and that's the most important thing. Very good.
Willow, the old offshoot, they call it.
Jenny, do you have a vague idea about the College of Pontiffs?
I don't. I was really expecting Ryan to get it right, so I could just be like, oh man, I have nothing to add, but I don't know where we're at now. It's
My idiocy has a domino effect.
No, I had no idea before, and I still have no idea now what the College of Pontiffs is.
So, very good, both of you. The College of Pontiffs was a body of ancient Roman state whose members were the highest-ranking priests of the state religion. It was basically like the board of religious whatever, yada yada, that hung out in ancient Rome. That's your okay. deal. They didn't end up electing popes. You were right. It's cardinals that do that.
Right. Well, and it's kind of funny that like I've been reading a bit about like old Roman religious practices, and it's pretty wild. But I've never heard a pontiff related to ancient Rome, because like the ones I always hear is like haruspex.
Oh yeah,
the person who like divins the future through animal guts. And we learned auspice like an auspice is auspice is Latin for like the study of birds. And so there was a whole field of divination in Roman religion where you would judge like the future and current goings on by watching murmurations of birds.
Yeah, you're and just so- winging it. I'm sorry, that was bad.
But a good auspice means, you know, it's actually bird related. I learned that recently.
That's super cool. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think like, yeah, the idea that there's any sort of collected council of religious people making decisions is sort of like, well, yeah, I guess you have to, but also terrifying. Oh. And cardinals, are cardinals birds then, Ryan? Tell me that.
Ooh, like etymologically,
yeah, that
opens up a very interesting, like, because there's probably a direct line to it. But although I don't know if cardinal is a French word or an English word or where that actually comes from.
It's fair.
Like, do we call them cardinals or do they call themselves cardinals?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
They have crests that look like the hats that our cardinals wear.
Uh-huh.
So it's, I mean, it's chicken and egg, really. Cardinal and egg.
Or below an archdeacon? I don't know that either.
The fucking madness of this.
We should just go back to when a guy with a knife would like open up a calf's stomach and say, your baby's going to be a boy. That's what it needs to go back to. That's my Andy Rooney 2 cents.
Okay, real quick. Over under, I'm going to put the over under at 8 years. You tell me, are you taking the over or the under for how soon the United States of America starts making decisions based on gutting animals? Ryan, go.
I haven't done enough sports betting in my life to understand the terminology involved.
Well, okay, so 8 years is the line. So you're just saying like, I think less than 8 years or I think more than 8 years.
I think my answer would change depending on what happens this fall.
That's fair. That's a very good point. Yeah.
This November is kind of clutch because depending on who wins the election someone else wins the election, very, very much under.
Yeah. I hear you on that. Good point. Jenny, do you have an over-under bet on that?
Yeah, I'd go with under as well. I'm spending a lot of time on conspiracy theory TikTok, and I feel like there's a lot of evidence to already support this, so.
Oh.
Yeah, it might be too late.
It might be.
It might already be too late. If
you're a conspiratorial person who assumes that, like, the government's tracking you and trying to get you, why the fuck are you on TikTok?
Well, it's not people who believe that necessarily. It's, like, people who believe that, like, all the celebrities are going to Jeffrey Epstein's island and what else? Celebrities are being held hostage at the moment. I'm also hearing reports of cloning of celebrities and pop stars is a big thing right now. So do with that what you will.
We're all so doomed.
It's a weird time. It is the weirdest time.
Remember to carry your raccoon meat as you're huddling by the barrel.
The title Pontifex comes from the Latin for bridge builder, which is interesting because pont is French for bridge.
It's the same pontoon boat.
Yeah. So a bridge builder, which is a possible allusion to the very early role in placating the gods and spirits associated with the Tiber River.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
Like, hey, you were the guys who talked the gods down from flooding us all the time. We're going to call you pontiffs because you are bridge builders spiritually.
That's why.
Brings us to the game Death Stranding.
Oh, man. what a wild journey that was.
the show's over. I have good news and bad news for both of you. The good news is that one of you are a winner, and the other of you has lost. And
this is traditionally how games go. Sure.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't want anyone to take it particularly, like, personally. I don't want you to feel like, oh, I'm the loser, therefore I need to brandish an L or listen to Beck records from the 90s.
Right.
You don't have to do that.
If I want to listen to Beck records.
Well, you could, yeah. If you want to, you're totally allowed to listen to it.
Beck records, like, his contribution to the soundtrack of Life Less Ordinary.
That's big. That's big. For the listener, there was some finger pointing going on over the Zoom.
There was.
some knowing finger pointing. So here are the final scores. Jenny, you scored 16 points. And Ryan, you scored 15 points. So Jenny is the winner this week. Jenny, congratulations.
That's crazy.
I'm applauding. I'm applauding.
Great work. We're going to throw in an audience applause sound effect here. So Jenny, you won. Is there anything you would like to plug this week that you want listeners to know about?
I'm just shocked that I won. I don't have anything particular to plug.
I mean, I'll plug your thing if you're not going to plug it.
Who knows if I would have a thing in
2 months. You will still.
Yeah, sure. No, if anybody needs skincare, I have a new platform. It's called The Glotacol. So glotacol.com, or theglotacol.com. And it's mostly lots of free skincare advice. So if you're really bored and want to learn about skin or learn how to massage your face, that's where I'm at.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, folks, we're going to be not letting other people touch us in public a lot for a long time. So if you want to learn how to take care of yourself, check out theglotacol.com. theglotacol.com. All right, Ryan, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
I would like to plug our state's mandatory mask order.
Great, yeah.
Kindly ask everyone to stay the fuck home when they can and stay away from each other, because I would like to leave my house at some point in the next 4 months, and I don't see that happening as things are currently proceeding. So please wear a mask and socially distance, please.
Damn right. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's important that we continue to acknowledge that even though there's, a number of people who think that there's some sort of conspiracy whereby people think they're going to get more power by making us have a mask, which is insane because they already have all the money. Like, I cannot emphasize this enough.
Right.
They already have all the money. What do they have to gain by asking us to wear a mask
right.
other than to not kill us? It would
right.
be very convenient for them to say, we have all the money, don't wear a mask, and die.
Right.
And that would be the end of things.
Right.
But they're not doing that. So conspiracies, no thanks. Not really working. Wear a mask. Listen to guidelines. I don't know what the CDC will be able to provide by the time the show is out because there won't be a lot of data given to them because the current administration is hoarding said data. But, you know, just take care of other people.
Right.
Also, Black lives continue to matter. And let's continue to support Native Americans throughout every reservation, everywhere they are, because they've been hit hard with this. They also own half of Oklahoma and really should own most of the country. We should be paying them rent. And yeah, you know, just fucking take care of each other. Be cool and also be thoughtful, be considerate. Don't let this whole situation be an opportunity to be yet more individualistic and douchey, I think, is kind of my big thing.
If you're putting your individual liberty to not wear a mask ahead of the well-being of your neighbors, you're contributing to this becoming a failed state. And history is pitiless and does not give two shits about patriotism or nationalism. If we prove to be incapable of rising to challenges that will crumble nations, we will crumble.
Yeah, yeah. As we just, you know, the last topic was the College of Pontiffs. Like, Rome did not last. And it wasn't just because, like, oh, there's a sunset for every country. It got big and it got fucking stupid. So stop being stupid.
Let's stop being stupid. Yeah.
Yeah. At least just for 4 or 5 more months. Come on, people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So listeners, thank you so much for listening to the show. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. I would also encourage you to check out the music of Michael J. O'Connor. He did our theme song. That's michaeljoconnor.bandcamp.com. Also, you know, do everything we've already talked about, wear a mask and be good to each other. And yeah, you know, I think that tonight we have had a vague idea about college. And that is a good thing, because the devil is in the details. Oh, bye-bye!
Why am I waving? This is
I don't know. That's good. I'm glad that you said, why am I waving? This is audio, because that'll be in the episode.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, with Shannon Page and sometimes John Peros. Information about topics often come from Wikipedia, so hey, why not donate a bit to that? Sound effects are Creative Commons public domain. If you like this podcast, tell a few people, and subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. And if you happen to like reading science fiction, check out the small press I started with my friend Sean Grokowski. You can find Spaceboy books at readspaceboy.com.